From the creators of the hit kids podcast Who Smarted and Netflix's Brainchild comes the adventurous world of mysteries about true histories, affectionately known as math.
Every episode follows Max and Molly. I gotta say, love the name Max. That's my puppy dog's name. Who have just recruited into a secret order of problem solvers on an adventure through time packed with puzzles, hidden equations, history, and laughs. It actually makes learning pretty cool.
Yeah. Now, I listened to this with my son, and it was so fun to listen to. I loved how modern it was with a cool aunt that they really dug, and like they dealt with bullies. My son also enjoyed all the math involved. Like, he thought it was really cool.
Well, and I have to say, I love anything that brings learning and fun together for kids. I really, really wish that something like this was around for my teens when they were younger. We would have absolutely devoured this on our car trips. It would have been amazing. It's perfect for kids ages 6 and up, and new episodes drop every Thursday.
So tune in to Mysteries About True Histories with your kids. You can follow and listen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your pods. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast. I am your host, Joanne Crone, and I'm joined here by my co-host, Bree Tucker.
Hello, hello.
I like the singing. Co-host.
I know. Sing. I still want us to like start finding ways to put like little Easter eggs in the episodes where like we're singing from a certain musical and see who can figure it out. Or a song.
Wait for it. I am the one thing in life I can't control. You don't get that one? Uh-uh. That's Hamilton.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yes, Leslie Odom Jr., Hamilton. Oh, wait man. For it. I'm not quite as good as like,
oh, wait for it. Yes.
Family. Yes.
Yes, okay. It took me a minute. Why? Okay, in all fairness, you do know the soundtrack better than I do.
I know, yeah. I listen to it a lot.
You know what's funny? So like this episode is going to air, you know, January 21. And I'm thinking back to when Hamilton came out. That was like at the beginning of the whole quarantine mess. And
it
like
was in
how...
July because it was an Independence Day thing.
Oh, was it July? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Time is in this weird thing.
Yeah, time just is crazy.
But you know what? I look back at those like the good old days of the quarantine.
It does feel, you know, I hated the phrase. New normal, like we have to get used to a new normal at the beginning, but now I feel like it is kind of a new normal and it's not a thing anymore, even though I still don't like the phrase new normal. I'm like, just say it one more time.
It is. Oh my gosh. So
yeah. Well, today's guest, Kristen from stepmomming.com, we're going to talk about step parenting.
Yes. And I was so excited to have her on because, again, if you guys listen to us, you've heard me mention I am divorced. I have a relationship too. It sounds so weird to say boyfriend, but my current partner, mm-hmm. Partner sounds better to me. I don't know why.
It sounds more grown up.
It does.
Boyfriend sounds like you're in high school.
It does. Thank you.
It's like, I don't like to be judgy about that, but that is like the first thing that comes to mind.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. So
and
you're
you
like,
guys are like more than just boyfriend. Like also like boyfriend, it sounds more casual and I don't feel that's like Miguel and you. You're not casual.
No. So he's a keeper. We're there for good. Yeah. But so I would say the partner. So with that being said, like I would say at least once a week, we talk about trying to figure out the whole step parent role. Mm-hmm. And it's a hard one. Like, where does he step in or where does he let me take the lead and he supports me? And like, if he does have an objection or something he feels differently, how does he say that? And then also just dealing with the whole walking the line of being stepdad and not. Trying to make sure he's respecting the boundaries of dad as well.
That sounds like a really, really hard line to really stay on.
It is. It is. So I was so excited when we met Kristen. We met her at Mom 2.0.
Virtually. We met her virtually.
Yes.
It's amazing
what
you could do via Zoom these days.
Well, you know, hey, 2020. #2020, man. So we met her there and I was like, wow, this is so awesome because she offers coaching.
Yes.
For moms that are going through this.
She's a certified step parent coach.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's amazing to have somebody who's able to help guide you through. Because while I love reading my books and I love getting info that way, sometimes you have questions and then it's like, who do I ask? Mm-hmm. Right?
So you can go to Kristen. There.
Yeah.
Kristen, you can go to stepmomming.com where she's the founder and she shows stepmoms around the world that stepmomming is what they do and not who they are, encouraging them to embrace their unique roles and create a future of peace and happiness. And she has a stepdaughter who is 10 years old. So we hope that you enjoy our conversation with Kristen. This episode is brought to you by Homework Simplified. It is our free parent online event that if you feel like you're the only one trying to get your kids to focus, or you are fighting every day about homework, come and join Homework Simplified. You're going to meet other parents there. You're going to meet me and Bree. We walk you through our proven strategies to simplify your homework routine. And like, we go live so you can ask us any question that you like, and we help you right there on the spot. So you can join at noguiltmom.com/homework-simplified. The link is in the show notes as well. And let's get on with the show.
You want mom life to be easier. That's our goal too. Our mission is to raise more self-sufficient and independent kids, and we're going to have fun doing it. We're going to help you delegate and step back. Each episode, we'll tackle strategies for positive discipline, making our kids more responsible, and making our lives better in the process. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast.
Hey, Kristen, welcome to the podcast. We are so happy to have you here.
Hello, hello. I'm so stinking excited.
And I see like a big shelf of books behind you. And like, you totally have my heart when I see all those books. I used to have a lot, like as of this Sunday, there was a huge thing of books back there, and we're kind of redoing the office and they're all downstairs now. But I love a fellow lover of books. So.
Yes, I told y'all we're actually moving in a month, and I don't have built-ins there. So I'm like, now I get to dream up the bookshelf that I want, which is almost more exciting.
Ooh, that's what we did downstairs. We did a built-in. My brother-in-law built it for us, and dreaming up a bookshelf is amazing.
The built-in bookshelf.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Fellow bookworm.
It's like you're just happy surrounded by all the books.
What are your favorite types of books? What do you like to read?
I feel like I'm supposed to tell you step parenting books, but
Let's go guilty pleasure books. Yeah. What guilty pleasures do you like?
Honestly, I love books that are written by celebrities that I like. Like, I love Lauren Graham from Gilmore Girls, and I've read all her books. So that's my guilty pleasure book that I would never have told anybody if you hadn't asked.
Okay. That's a good thing. We should like ask these guilty pleasures. I like guilty pleasures. Mine are like thrillers. I love like thrillers and whodunits, like the crime series, but not like too grisly crime, like the Ruth Ware and the Woman in Cabin 10. That kind of genre is like my favorite. What about
you, Brie? I loved Gone Girl.
Gone Girl was so good.
I want to read that. I haven't gotten to that one yet. Right now, I would say it probably is. Like, I do enjoy the thrillers, but you also know, like, my other, and I wouldn't call this a guilty pleasure by any means, but I really enjoy Glennon Doyle. Like, every book I get by her, it's done. Like, I start it, and like, next thing I know, I'm like, no, how is it over already?
She's on that shelf right there.
She's in that one, yeah.
With Brene Brown.
Yes.
Right? That's where I'm like, it's not really a guilty pleasure, but it definitely is one. And I do really enjoy reading the child development books. But it's funny because like, I'll get halfway through them and I'm like, okay, next one.
I have three books I'm always reading at one time. I'll have a business book. Like right now I'm reading Ego Free Leadership. I'll have a parenting book, which is Happy Campers Right Now by Audrey Monkey. And then I'll have a fun book, which is The Somnambulist, which is a very good like set in Victorian London, like something evil happening beneath the city kind of book.
See, okay. Oh, and fun. hearing that you're reading three books at once to me is very overwhelming. And I am one of those people that at 41, I have a whole set of divided plates at my house. And like, I don't like things mixing. So right there, that's like the idea of like a casserole, which you just did.
They're
like,
in separate buckets. They're each in their little divided touching. Plate section. They're separate genres.
But so you read them at like,
I do. So Kristen, for those of our audience who have not met you yet, tell us a little bit about you and what you do.
I run an entire website dedicated to helping overwhelmed stepmoms. My whole goal is to validate their experiences, assure them that they're not alone, and just provide guidance along their journey. There's no handbook for being a stepmom, and so I do my best to provide that. There's kind of four different pieces of my business. We've got the blog. Every week we put out a new article that's meant to just help and validate. I've got coaching where I work one-on-one or in a group with stepmoms. We have a shop that's full of printables that just kind of help take it to the next level if you need something to put in front of you. And then we have a private Facebook group, which again, just, you are not alone. Stepmommy can feel so isolating. And so just trying to give them that community where they can really recognize that they are not the only ones going through.
I love it. I love, love, love it. That is so important. I think a sense of community is huge, right?
It's huge. And like the typical like view of stepmoms in the media has always been the Disney movies with like the evil stepmoms. And I feel like women placed into that role, they usually don't have a positive like source to turn to.
Hey, all, it is Joanne.
And Bree here.
And we want to tell you about a podcast that you should check out. It's called Understood Explained. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Uturbe, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs.
And in this latest season of Understood Explained, it covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. We actually just listened to the episode, IEPs, Does My Child Need an IEP? And here is what we loved about it.
I loved that it was so digestible. Like, it was such a short episode, and all of the topics, which could be really confusing to parents, were easily explained.
And I loved how they gave great concrete examples, because you know how much I love me a good example. They explained what kind of services and supports you could actually see on a child's IEP or individual education plan. And they explained those acronyms. That nothing drives me more crazy than when there's acronyms and I don't get it. I don't know what it stands for. They took the time to explain everything in so much detail and to cover concerns that a lot of families have about special ed services.
To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains, or just click on the link in our show notes.
This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients.
So, Brie, I remember this one time I was in a bike race around Tucson, and I wasn't paying attention. We were riding down 4th Avenue, and there's railroad tracks, like streetcar tracks, and my bike's tire, like, went and wedged in to the railroad tracks,
no!
And I totally fell down and just, like, skinned my hands, everything. Ugh. I had nothing with me, nothing at all. And it's that times where you want a first aid product and you have nothing. And Active Skin Repair utilizes a molecule called hypochlorous acid. When applied to the skin, the molecule works by mimicking the natural immune response to cleanse, soothe irritation, reduce inflammation, and support healing. I've used it on my son's mosquito bites, and I wish I would have had it the time I totally scraped up my hands.
Oh, I hear you. Like, whenever I go paddleboarding, kayaking, I'm always trying to find something that is like an all-in-one that I can take with me. And Active Skin Repair could be used like that. It can be used to treat cuts, scrapes, burns, sunburns, rashes, and other types of skin damage. It's also safe and non-toxic, which makes it suitable for all skin types, all parts of the body, like eczema, and acne-prone skin, all of that.
With over 500,000 happy customers, thousands of five-star reviews, and ingredients so safe and clean they can be used from the youngest member of the family to the oldest, you now have one simple solution for all of your family's skin health needs. Visit www.activeskinrepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair, and to get 20% off your order, use code NOGUILT.
Yeah, it's so hard living up to just trying to overcome that. You know, if you work so hard to not be the evil stepmom, to prove we're not all evil. And it's great to see that positive representation. That's really what we're all about.
And on your blog, you talk about your kind of journey into being a stepmom and your relationship also with your stepdaughter's mom. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So it has been a journey. I think there's this expectation that things were easier for us because we are at a place where I would call her a friend. At one point, I would have called her a best friend. And so people just assume it's easy, and it's certainly not. Every relationship has ebbs and flows, has ups and downs. We ended up working on this blog together where we talked a lot about our experiences. And so she could understand my perspective as the stepmom. I could understand her perspective as the divorce mom. And it really helped us get so much closer as co-parents, but also as friends. And then, of course, things happen. There are fights, there are hurt feelings throughout the years. But getting to a place where we can talk about that has just been hugely transformational for us.
Wasn't there a time, I think I remember a story where she had to move in with you guys for a period of time? Tell me about that. That is like awkward with a capital A.
Yeah, it is. So they were saving up. They wanted to buy a place of their own. They had had a temporary living situation and it was to a place they still needed to save. So they needed to stay somewhere. And it was either with us or living with his brother an hour away. We had never met the guy, felt kind of uncomfortable about that. Plus the commute to and from school here in our district. We were like, that's going to be really hard on her. So my husband asked me, do you think it would be okay? We just moved into our home here and had extra bedrooms. And I was like, yeah, I mean, how am I going to tell my husband he can't see his daughter every day?
Right? Yeah. Like that had to put you in a really difficult position.
Yeah, I was not yet sure what boundaries were.
Yeah, I was not yet sure what boundaries were. That's a great way to put
and
it.
Yeah, learn by fire, huh?
Yeah. And so in as many ways as you can imagine, it was really difficult. Roommates are hard anyway. Dishes in the sink are hard anyway. But watching your husband's ex-wife cook dinner for the family in the kitchen, that's triggering.
Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm.
For a lot of ways, it was really challenging. In a lot of ways, it was also really good for us. I mean, her husband and my husband really bonded. They would go play golf all the time. We got even closer with her other daughter that she has with her new husband. And there was a lot of bonding that happened, but there was also obviously a lot of challenges along the way. Don't recommend for anyone. Like, that's not how to bond.
No.
You're like, don't ever think that that's a good idea for bonding. But for the circumstances you guys were handed, mm-hmm. and again, as a fellow divorced mom, I think that that's amazing what you did. Like, and I know I've seen your stuff on your blog and you talk a lot about like, you know, don't be a martyr. It's have your boundaries, be you. But I have to just say like the divorced mom in me wants to like hug you so hard right now and be like, that was so amazing that you were able to go through that. And yeah,
I feel like I just went ahead and learned the lesson for everybody. So nobody yes. has to do it. Just listen to what I say and how it went, what I learned, and then we're all good.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of times, like, you know, those situations where we feel the most uncomfortable and the most troubled, those are where we take hold of our strength to then go and help other people. And I feel like you've really done that well with taking this this uncomfortable, not recommended situation and really transforming it into what you do now. So what are some like common pressures that stepmoms feel, as stepmoms who don't have to live in the same house?
Yeah, I know.
I think there's three really big ones. One of them we've already kind of talked about is just overcoming this evil stepmom stereotype. We feel this pressure to prove our worth. Here's what I bring to the table. I'm not evil. Look at me being great, feeling like we have to do that. I think another one, which is common for, I think, moms across the board, correct me if I'm wrong, but feeling like you have to put your family's needs before your own.
Check.
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, we can wear ourselves out doing that. And then specifically for the stepmom struggle, feeling like you have to step up, love your stepkids like your own, but don't overstep. Like there's a fine line there. It's a tricky balance. So we feel this pressure to give and give, but don't overgive, and just navigate this journey where there's, like I said, there's really no handbook.
Right.
Do you ever feel like, you know, you can never really win so much because there might be someone else will feel you overstepped that you didn't even know where you overstepped? And does that boundary ever move?
Oh gosh, yes. It's, you're always aiming for a moving target. And sometimes we don't realize it's a boundary until it's been crossed. I mean, like with me with the painting, I didn't realize that was a boundary until it had been crossed. So it's not just my side, it's also the divorced mom side, but it can be so challenging. And I have overstepped more times than I want to admit, not realizing. I mean, my intention was never malicious, but I did overstep, and then I had to kind of backtrack and apologize for that and try again to navigate this role in a way that's respectful for everybody else as well as respecting my own.
I think I'm hearing some really great things there. I'm hearing like having that open communication, keeping that open mind that, okay, if there was a mistake, if a boundary was crossed, we learn from it, right? That's what it is.
So talking about those parenting decisions where you feel like you might have overstepped, like what is one of those that you felt you've been judged for?
So when I think about what I've been judged for, it's less about overstepping and more about protecting my own boundary. So we got married on St. John, the U.S. Virgin Islands, and we were preparing to fly out. And I said, okay, the next time I see you, like, we're going to be on the island, we're going to be getting married, and we're going to be a family, and just so excited. And she just looked up at me and she was like, when we get married, can I call you mom? And it was like the sweet, wonderful emotion that you imagine of, oh, that's the validation that you're looking for. But I was immediately like, nope. I needed to respect a boundary of her mom's that she had never set, but it was also about me knowing I could never feel comfortable trying to live up to that title because I was never going to be her mom. So I made that decision. I've written about it on the blog and I get a lot of heat for it, that I've restricted her voice or I haven't supported her. The way that story ends is that she now calls me Mama K. It's a title that's just for me. It's so special. And hearing her say that, I mean, she's 10 and she still calls me Mama K. And it's so sweet. And that just brings so much more joy to me than if she called me mom. I would have felt like a fraud. Knowing my personal experience, my personal feelings, I could not live up to that title and feel comfortable with it. And I have absolutely been judged for telling her, no, you can't call me mom. But that was a boundary I had to respect for her mom and for me.
Which I think it's so important to know your own boundaries and to respect that. So that kudos. Is a great Huge example kudos. Of boundaries. Now, like at No Guilt Mom, we also, in addition to the boundaries, we talk a lot about making sure your own needs are met. As a woman outside of parenthood, what is one thing that you do to yourself that is just for yourself and helps you like become a better parent because of it?
Spending time with the people I love and the people who make me laugh and remember why I'm so great. And that sounds so self-serving, but I laugh when I'm with them and I'm carefree and my best friend, my sister, my nephews, just thinking about how much more vibrant I am with them. And that's how I can recharge.
No, I like, okay. So when you said that self-serving thinking like how you're so great, I think we as moms need more of that because so much we put ourselves into our families that we forget what we are outside of ourselves. I get that all the time. And I find that when I'm with girlfriends and I'm not trying to hold up to any roles, but I just like let myself be and laugh so, so hard. You're like, oh, I'm kind of a cool person. Like, but you forget that as a parent.
I know. You're right. You're right. I it feels silly having to say all the time, but I do. I say it a lot and you know this. I'm a cool mom. Yeah. We're cool mom.
Yeah, but
we're fun people.
But one step over that, like you're a cool person.
Oh, yes.
Outside of being a mom. Yes, yes,
yes. But it's definitely about like we're cool individuals the way we are. Like it's just remembering who we are. And like you were saying, like you've said plenty I've seen about how it's so easy to get swallowed up and lost in those other identities, right?
Yeah. I definitely personally went through what I call an identity crisis where I had given my all to the stepmom role and stop doing things for me because I thought I needed to be fully present with my family. And one day I looked in the mirror and I didn't recognize myself. I wasn't being true to me. I wasn't being the happy, vibrant person that I used to be. And that's why I intentionally chose the motto for the blog of stepmomming is what you do. It's not who you are. Because I needed that reminder just as much as other stepmoms do.
Yeah, that identity piece is so, so important. And I think it applies not just to stepmoms, but all women in general, because we feel like we have to give our all to our roles as caretakers and children wranglers, and we lose ourselves. Like, I think I've gone through that as well when I stopped teaching and being in the classroom and having that role. It's a huge thing. Identity is a huge thing. And like, I think all moms, we totally experience guilt. And you say it could be different from stepmoms, first stepmoms, and how they experience that guilt.
Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter-Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket, telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.
So how do you suggest that stepmoms deal with the guilt and shame that comes with stepmoming?
I know for stepmoms that our guilt often arises from not being able to meet expectations that others have placed on us and feeling like you have to fill a role that you just simply aren't capable of and feeling like you should be able to. But when you can be really true to what you bring to the table and filling a role in your family that feels authentic to you, then you can give in a way that feels more natural and stand true in the confidence that you are doing everything you can for your family and you are being the person they need. And that's how I've been able to kind of silence that guilt of, no, I'm doing everything I need to. Forget your expectations. I'm filling my own and providing for my family in a great, meaningful way.
What do you feel are some of those expectations that others are placing on you as a stepmom?
So there's so many. Like I said earlier, feeling like you have to love your stepkids. Some stepmoms can't. They can't build that bond, and that's not always a reasonable expectation. They can respect their stepkids without having developed a love relationship. It's also not usually possible for a stepmom to love her stepkids the same way she loves her own. And asking or expecting that is not reasonable. Expecting the stepmom to immediately bond with her family, not reasonable. It takes 4 to 7 years usually for a blended family to truly blend and feel like they're in a good groove. Expecting her to come in and be mom of her home isn't reasonable either because the stepkids often have a very involved mom in their lives. And so expecting that from her, it's just not practical. It's not something we can actually do in our homes in a way that respects others' boundaries and is true to what feels right for us.
Those are like some powerful things. Yeah. And I could see how guilt-inducing and shame-inducing each of those expectations are.
And you know what I also found really interesting? You talked about how you said that, well, you're not a mom of your own, but everything you were saying, those are it's very similar yet very different. The guilt that you feel as a mom, you do feel judged as a mom all the time and that you're not doing it well enough and all these other things. So to add on the extra, what is the word I'm looking for? Perspectives or the extra angle that you have as a stepmom that you have in a role as a step. That's a lot of pressure to have to work through. And it feels like you would probably also, on top of all that, have some shame that would make you hesitant to talk with your partner about it too, right? Because a lot of it centers around something that's very personal and very attached to them. And that's a hard conversation.
And I think that's just an added layer that you've touched on, that you're afraid to talk to your partner and say, am I equipped for this? Can I handle this? Am I doing enough? For me, I talk to my sister, I talk to my mom, and I talk to other people who were often my safe place and my support system, but they weren't stepmoms. And so the feedback I often got was, you knew what you were signing up for. And
that's not fair.
That's not helpful at all.
I'm so glad y'all recognize that because we hear that a lot and it's not helpful.
See, you've actually made me aware of like a common stepmom stereotype about loving your stepkids as much as you love your own kids. Like that's something that's said a lot. I see that a lot, and that's an expectation. And hearing you talk about it, I'm like, okay, you know, it's probably not possible to have that right away. It's possible to have that respect, but to have that same bond, it's asking too much. So as a stepmom, like we always like to encourage really self-empowered and independent kids.
So how, what's like one hack that you use to encourage this independence and self-sufficiency in your stepdaughter?
So I'm lucky that I have a stepdaughter who loves lists. I am very much a list person, and so check, is she. Check. She loves it. She has a dry erase marker.
Yeah, the joy of the check mark. They're fabulous.
Yes. So we have a before school checklist and after school checklist. And my favorite hack is I can pack my own lunch checklist. And so we'll write on it like what entrees she has, what healthy choices she has. And she knows exactly how to pack her own lunch, because that was something before. It's like she had it her way. There would be mac and cheese and Pringles and a dessert. So oh, yeah. Helping her to, you know, empower her to do her own lunch, which was huge. That was a huge first step. But then to also make healthy choices on top of that was really helpful for her, but great for me to not have that on my plate and set boundaries of my own of what I can and can't do in my home.
I think that's amazing. And I love like the little steps, because it's like first you make your own lunch and then healthy lunch time. So tell our listeners where they can find out more about you.
You can find me at stepmomming.com or at stepmomming on Pinterest, Instagram, or Facebook. I'm at stepmommingblog on Twitter, not super active on Twitter, but happy to talk with anybody at any time who feels like they are a stepmom. And I want to also clarify, stepmom doesn't mean you're married. In my mind, if you are dating somebody who has kids, you're in the stepmom role, you're facing the same struggles. And often those early stages are even more complicated than once you've gotten into a groove and a marriage. So if you are dating someone with kids, I would love to talk to you, validate your experience.
I really love it that you pointed that out, because yeah, it's not something that occurs magically. At the moment you say I do, or at, you know, wave of the wand of a certain time, you magically have the role of becoming a stepmom.
Yeah. What are you really excited about right now?
I am really excited right now about our group coaching program. I feel like every week that we go through this program, it just gets better. We've got weekly calls, and in addition to, you know, the stepmom sharing her struggle, I can also give her coaching there. But beyond that, she's getting validation from the other stepmoms in the group. I also have this course that I've created that goes with it. In addition to the here and now, she's also able to build up these strategies for long-term success and really creating a mindset around peace.
I love that. I love yes. how you are filling this need for stepmoms where they before have not received validation. And now you're coming in and being like, no, this is how it is. And this is how like you might run into this, and showing them like all of the struggles they might come against so that they're prepared and they feel less guilt and shame. So what you're doing is just amazing. And we are so, so thankful you've decided to come on and share it with us.
It has been so awesome getting to talk to you. I just so, so appreciate everything you do to really normalize experiences for moms.
Well, we will talk to you soon. Kristen was so enjoyable.
Yes, I loved getting to chat with her. And you know what was really amazing? Her talking about the guilt that that you know you have as a step parent, that like people expect you to do it all and to do it all with a smile.
Yes.
And have no issues.
I feel it's a very universal thing. And I almost want to think like maybe it is a female like societal expectation that you do it all with a smile, and that it's, you know, same as for stepmoms as it is for like non-stepmoms, and like it's a female thing, like they expect you to do it all with a smile.
Right. I mean, so like the common themes we heard from our conversation with her, that, you know, it's not that it was a shock, but it kind of was a shock, like yes, they are expected to do everything with a smile and know exactly how to handle it. And then also the importance of boundaries.
Oh my gosh. Boundaries would be very, very tricky to navigate, I feel.
Yeah. But they're important. I think boundaries are tricky to navigate both as a step parent and as a regular parent. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes we forget that we need those boundaries to be able to be healthy and exist and continue, man.
Yes. You use your no to protect your yes.
Yes, exactly.
But it's hard like to feel like if you're always stepping on someone else's toes and the fear of doing that, that's tricky as well.
Right, right. So I'm so glad that Kristen's there and she's doing her coaching, because I feel like it's a much needed support for a lot of parents.
Make sure you go check her out at stepmomming.com. And hey,
while you're here,
how do you like the podcast? And while you're here, hit that subscribe button and you'll get a new episode from me and Brie every Tuesday and Thursday. And if you have a minute or two, we would really, really appreciate it if you rate and review the podcast as well. Hopefully we deserved your 5 stars. If you could just rate it and then, you know, write a quick little 2 sentences about the podcast and what you like so that other moms can find it as well. Because we are on a mission to help parents feel less guilty about all things parenting and help them raise kids to be more self-sufficient. Until next time, remember, the best mom is a happy mom. Take care of you, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for stopping by.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play, and we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of 2, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.